We pray. Merciful Lord, fill our hearts to overflowing with the light of your gospel, the grace of your forgiveness, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Guide us in these dark days by the light of your salvation, that we might ever walk in a way that is pleasing to you and rejoice in your never-ending love. Bless us, strengthen us, and guide us now and forever in Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever heard the expression that the darker the night, the brighter the candle burns? I wonder if this Christmas time, whether that might not become obvious to us all. The Word of God came to John at a very significant time. We had a great big long list. Luke gave us a list of all the emperors at the moment. Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod, and on and on. And even some Pharisees, Annas and Caiaphas. Now, besides Luke's list pinpointing that in the annals of history, it also speaks volumes to the corruption and the darkness of those days. This is almost a who's who of criminals. These people were infamous for their wickedness. These were the declining days of the Roman Empire, where people were godless and fearless and wicked on every hand. While Rome was filled with God's glory of every choosing, the wind of atheism was really sweeping through the Roman Empire at this time, so most of those gods were just window dressing. Everyone did whatever their own hearts and lives wanted. And so it was a brutal time in Rome, a dangerous time, very dark times. Every form of immorality that can be imagined by the human mind was practiced in Rome at this time. But notice, Luke also records the leaders of the Jewish people, Annas and Caiaphas, Pharisees. The two big groups that controlled the people of God at that time were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't even believe that there was a life after death. Their whole motto was, hey, live a good and moral life and have fun while you're here, because that's all there is. And they were the leaders in God's church. And then there were the Pharisees, who loved to point out everyone else's sin because they thought they were a better cut, they were more pious, that certainly God smiles upon them because they are so religious and everyone else is so disgusting. Notice in all those groups there's a common thread. None of them really have a need for Jesus to be born. Either there are no gods, or there is no afterlife, or we're just so good in and of ourselves, we don't need a Savior from our sins. And so they weren't looking for the Messiah to come and free them from their sins. Isn't that kind of weird? They lived in a day and age where sin and evil was so prevalent, so in their face everywhere they turned, and yet there was no repentance in their hearts, no sorrow over their sins, no fear of the afterlife and spending eternity in hell. It's like none of that ever existed. What about today? What about our dark days? Is darkness thick over America? Maybe this Christmas we're wondering not only what's on our shopping list, but where will the next bomb explode? Where will be the next mass shooting? Isn't that an interesting commentary on our day and age? After the California attack, the New York Daily Herald had great big headlines in their newspaper. God isn't fixing this, they said. Uh-oh, is this now God's fault? God brought terrorism into the world. This isn't the wickedness, the evil of man's heart that has devised this? Why isn't God coming and fixing this? Why doesn't he just click his fingers and make it all go away? Paul gave the Romans an explanation as to why things were so wicked and dark and evil in Rome, maybe it applies to America too. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain a knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Wow, what a form of judgment. Since they want nothing to do with God, he hands them over to the very thing he was saving them from. You have no time for me? Now your own wickedness will be the noose around your own neck. Things will not get better because of your wickedness. They will become darker and more corrupt and more brutal. But notice, in the midst of that wicked, sinful Roman world, a light shined. It was into that world that Jesus was born, and John the Baptist was brought in to be his forerunner, to proclaim the Savior is here. In those dark, dark times, and in our dark, dark times, that light still shines. God has not withdrawn his message or his saving work. Even in these dark end times, the message of the Savior shines bright. The candle glows ever darker or brighter in the darkness of this world. God's word works Christmas miracles. Are we looking for miracles this Christmas? Oh, we like Christmas miracles, don't we? Oh, we like all kinds of tales of how hearts and lives can be warmed and changed at Christmas time, huh? It just seems like the mood for that. After all, the ghosts came to Ebenezer Scrooge, didn't they? And they turned his heart from being a money-grubbing, cynical, withering man into a joyful, happy, generous person, wishing everyone's God's blessing. Or we can talk about George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life, huh? He was close to suicide, jumping off that bridge. And then an angel in training comes and shows him how he isn't poor, he's rich. For all the wonderful good things he's done, he's made his own wonderful life, and he just needs to appreciate how good life truly is. Interesting how those stories work. But notice in both of them, there's not a word about Jesus. How we kind of just fix our own lives. They're nice, imagined tales that warm our hearts and set us aglow, but after the lights are taken down and packed away and we step into a brand new year, don't we always feel that thud as we come back to reality and see we live in a world of Scrooges, a world of depression and despair? That for all the joy those stories gave us, they really have no permanent change because they're all based on us. What should we preach this Christmas time? Oh, believe in yourself. Don't be in love with your money. Kind of be generous and you'll make your own happiness. You can make your own wonderful life. People are basically good. And so just find your fulfillment and do your Christmas joy and we'll make peace on earth just because we're just so wonderful in and of ourselves. Ugh. You know, the darker and more evil the world becomes, the less those hollow platitudes ring out. They're just not that believable anymore because there is evil in the world and there is darkness. And all those hollow epitaphs aren't going to save us from the wickedness of this day. So what should we be preaching this Christmas? The word of God came to John in the desert, and he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's message was refreshing to the people. Why? Because it was a message of forgiveness that they weren't hearing in their temple or synagogue. John didn't lecture them as to how rotten and miserable the Roman Empire was. He focused the people on their own sins and on their one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, who had been born. That was the only way out. God so loved them, he came to save them. The Messiah didn't come just to remove the suffering and the consequences of living in a sinful world. And the Messiah didn't come in order to punish them and to annihilate them because of their sins. No, the Messiah was born to save them and us from their sins. How remarkable that is. The miracle of Christmas. That God would come and in spite of us adding to the darkness of this world because of our sin and selfishness, he comes and still calls us into the light of his grace, into the light of that child in Bethlehem and what that child has come to do. Even though we have made this a more dangerous world by our words and our actions and have hurt and harm people, God still calls us to the safety and peace of his forgiveness. We have been very unloving, and yet God comes and calls us to his love, that he might bathe us in his love and in his forgiveness. And in a very loveless world, the bucket, love bucket of our heart might be filled to overflowing. We have lived for ourselves and even stomped on other people if it gets us ahead in our mission in life. And notice, John declared a Savior who had come to live for us, not for himself, and to die for us, and to rise for us, all so that we would have heaven instead of hell. Because of our wickedness, our rebellion, our selfishness, we've purchased a little corner in the dungeons of hell that we so richly deserve. But this little one born in Bethlehem would go to the cross to pay for that. So that we, instead of a corner in a dungeon in hell, we might have a mansion in heaven for all eternity. Talk about Christmas gifts. And this is why he has come. God's word works that Christmas miracle of repentance and forgiveness. And so if we are to get anything out of this Advent season, it first and foremost must start with repentance. Just as we come to this holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper with hearts of repentance. Not in stone-cold hearts, not in just looking at other people's sins, but at looking at our sins, of which we're pleading forgiveness for and trusting that in this sacrament, that's exactly what our Savior gives us. That very body and blood sacrificed on the cross here in this meal to impart his forgiveness. And as we receive the sacrament, so also we move through a whole season of Advent, preparing our hearts with repentance. Notice how Luke jumps into the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see the salvation, will see God's salvation. Our world needs a lot of work done in it. Maybe that's what we're hoping the next president will do. Huh? Any of those candidates up to the task? But Isaiah's words speak about all the work that needs to be done in our own hearts and lives. Bulldoze. Level those mountains of pride and arrogance and self-centeredness. Fill in those valleys of wickedness and despair, that there might be level ground, smooth roads to welcome the Savior in, into our hearts and lives, and to eagerly anticipate his arrival at the end of days. Prepare a way for the Lord. No obstacles of it's all about me or I have a million excuses, but rather to listen to the word and take it to heart that he might dwell inside of us. And that's how God prepares us this Advent season. Through his law and gospel, he knocks down our mountains. He fills in our valleys. He works in our hearts and our lives that his word might be so precious to us. What a journey he has for us ahead. Another Christmas miracle, that he might prepare us for his second coming. And the more we're in God's Word, the more God's Word will be in us. And all of a sudden, miraculous changes will happen. Suddenly, His victory for us on the cross will be infinitely more important to us than who wins the Super Bowl. And our life in heaven will be more precious to us than our life right here, right now in this earth. Okay? The hymn writer wrote, "When sinners see their lost condition and feel the pressing load of sin, and Jesus cometh on His mission to heal the sin-sick heart within, all grief must flee before His grace, and joy divine will take its place." That's truly the joy of Christmas, not presents and lights. Martin Luther used to say that when the Lord wants to make us feel glad, He often first makes us feel sad. He brings us to repentance and then the cheer of His forgiveness. And so we enter this Advent season with a heart of sorrow over our sin, but firmly trusting in what that babe of Bethlehem accomplished. Also, that we truly might celebrate this Christmas for all the right reasons, and so that we might be poised, ready, waiting for our Savior to come again, not as a babe, but as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the darkness of this world, and as it grows ever darker and darker, that Christ light shines all the brighter. Oh, may it shine in our hearts and homes and lives to the glory of our Lord, and to keep us firm and steady in His grace. To Him be the glory this Christmas season, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, You have a good and holy purpose for this Advent season as we are about to step into another Christmas. Bless us. Turn our hearts and our eyes and our ears toward You and Your Word. Fill us to overflowing with Your light, that we might be aglow with Your mercy and love. Now and forever may we sing Your praise here on earth as the angels do above, in tribute to You, now and forever. In Jesus we pray. Amen.